This past week, I got a special privilege, which was to play music and lead worship at Camp Patmos. And I'm really thankful that I didn't have to do that alone. I actually have somebody here. I'm not going to call them out. Somebody here went with me. It was my brother-in-law, and he helped me lead worship. And not only that, somebody else, while we were up at the place, said, "Hey, I can jump on the drums. I can work with you." And together we led the music with the ultimate goal of leading people to worship God. The cool thing about being up there and hanging out with these guys is that we got to do something when we weren't playing music. And it's a word we use in church sometimes. It's a word we're going to talk about today. And the word is fellowship. I've heard us use this word many times here before, like this slide. We'll put this slide up on the fourth Sunday of each month and say, "Hey, it's Fellowship Sunday." And we use that word in church. What does it even mean? We'll talk about that today. It's part of a series we're doing on the basics of Christian living. And I'm being honest with you, I am not good at fellowship. This is an area that I need to work on, that we need to work on. I even reached out to somebody on my way back this weekend. I reached out to somebody in this church and I just said, "Hey, can you and I get together and do some fellowship?" Let's talk about what fellowship is. And I'm taking us first to the Greek word koinonia, which is used throughout the Bible. And we translate that Greek word sometimes as fellowship or partnership. To fellowship is to participate together. So when we have a fellowship meal, we're participating together in the eating, right? Of course, Christian fellowship is a little bit more than that. We don't just doing things together. Christian fellowship is based on the relationship we share. The relationship we share and the partnership we share in Christ. Now, I wrote that into the bulletins here. If you would like to have these notes here that I put in the bulletin, I'll put the bulletin here. Maybe somebody could help us pass those out if you didn't get one. But this idea here, we will expand on today what it means to be in fellowship with one another, what that looks like. And the perfect place for us to start isn't with our fellowship, but actually with God's fellowship. Do you know that there is fellowship within God? Is that confusing? It's going to be confusing. Before the world began, before anyone was created, God was having fellowship with himself. And theologians have used the word Trinity to describe this fellowship. The idea that the Father is in fellowship with the Son is in fellowship with the Spirit. They had a perfect, divine, life-giving fellowship before you were even created. Yeah. And we get a glimpse of that in the Bible. I'm not going to take us to these passages, but notice that when you're in Scripture, this fellowship is highlighted. It says that the Father sends the Son, right? And then we hear Jesus, he prays to the Father. Just listen to the words of Jesus' prayer. He says, "Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed." And they're talking there. Jesus, the Son, talking to the Father about the fellowship they had and still have. Notice then Jesus, when he's teaching the disciples, he says, "Well, I'm going to leave, and then the Father's going to send the Spirit." But the Spirit's not doing his own thing. The Spirit and the Father together glorify the Son. So there's no subordination there. They are in perfect fellowship with one another. And what's really neat, when you open the Bible, even from the first, very first account, God is saying, "I'm going to create people in my image, and I'm going to invite the people I made to have fellowship with me." And that's a big deal. The language the Bible uses right in the early pages, it sounds like Adam walked with God. And that's a really intimate kind of fellowship. And we know the rest of that story, right? The fellowship between God and man was broken when we rebelled against God. I used to think when I was a kid, why did Adam and Eve mess it up for all of us? But the reality is, when I look in my own heart and I look at just my last 24 hours, I'm also violating and rebelling against God. So the ball was really in God's court. And it would be fair for him to say, our fellowship is broken forever. But instead, let's look at what happens here. And John tells us, this is the story that John tells us. And his story, his theme here is about fellowship. Check this out. What was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we observed and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Notice he's writing as somebody, it's a first-person account. He saw with his own eyes. He heard, he touched Jesus. So he's going to write here to tell us about what he experienced. That life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father was revealed to us. You've got somebody like John, he's saying, you know, whatever's going on with God, we got a glimpse. Jesus came as the greatest revelation of God ever, greater than any book, greater than any prophet, right? Jesus comes and reveals to us what God is like. So look at this last verse from 1 John. Here's what we've seen and heard, and we declare to you so that you may have, say with me, fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So this is describing really two kinds of fellowship, right? The fellowship we can have with God, not because we're good, not because we earned it. Ultimately, we can have fellowship with God because Jesus lived the perfect life and died in our place. So every time the Bible talks about how we can approach God, why can we come boldly before him? Because Jesus made the way. So if we've trusted in Jesus to save us, to forgive us, to make us new creatures, now we know that we can have fellowship with God. And so we observe this. There's fellowship with God within God. There's also fellowship between God and his people. You know, some people have suggested that God made the world and then he just kicked his feet up and isn't involved. That's not what Jesus is saying. Of course, Jesus is saying, I am the God who's going to come near to you so that the fellowship that I made you to have can be made new, so that the curse could be reversed, so that when Jesus comes again and all things are made new, we'll have that fellowship with God. Well, let's go a little bit further now, because I know that John's referring not only to the fellowship we can have with God, but if we're in Christ, like all of us in this room are trusting Christ as our Savior, then there's a fellowship that we're to share also. And let's see what Paul has to say about that. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And just letting you know right away, this church is infamous for having bad fellowship. This church had a discrimination that was happening, including of rich people discriminating against poor people. And then Paul also refers to some conflict between Jews and Gentiles, people who are not Jewish. So we know that in the early church, they're having some fellowship problems. They even had a situation where they would come together and have communion, and the wealthier people would just get gorged on all the high-end food, but the poor people had nothing to eat. Paul says, I have a letter for you. And so this is what he wants to do. He wants to draw a picture to help them understand how each of the people in the local church work together or have fellowship together, how they have a relationship and a partnership in Christ. So I'll read this to you now. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. So if the foot should say to the hand, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Paul's using an illustration here. He's drawn a picture. So if you could just imagine the human body, and I put up here like a diagram. Think about how unusual some of the parts of the human body are. Some of the parts of the human body, like the nose, serve the purpose of smelling. And that's a narrower purpose, of course, but then the ear for hearing. And together, all the parts are useful to the body. Right? But some of them might, you know, he's using this, just a little bit of imagination here. What if your foot said, I'm tired of being down here getting dirty all the time and stinky, and I'm not out, you know, out there. I'm not nearly as cool as the hand, for example. So there's a sense here where Paul is saying there's a diversity in the body. There's different parts of the body, but whether they're honorable or whether they're, even seen, unseen, all the parts are working together, internal organs, to keep you alive, to make it so that you can live. And so he's saying this is really a lot like the church. The church has different parts to it. We have different gifts and different roles. But just like how the hand and the ear and the nose are all part of one body, the people out here, if you're in Christ, you're all part of one body. Now, how does this apply to our situation? Well, think about the different gifts that we have. Some people are good at singing, and they are up here on the stage, and you see them all the time. Some other people have really committed to serving the church in a way that you can't see. There's probably people who clean the bathrooms, and you don't even know that they're the ones doing it. People do things behind the scenes. Somehow that coffee got made. Somehow that breakfast dish made it here today. So somebody else gave their time and their gifts to making that happen. Now, what if the person who mops the bathroom says, you know what, I'm done with this. I mop the bathrooms. Nobody ever sees me and thanks me. And Matt gets to stand up on the stage and sing the songs. It's just, I'm done. That's exactly the kind of situation that Paul is addressing. He's reminding everyone here that we have different roles, different gifts, but we're one in Christ, so we should honor each other. we should recognize each other, that we're important. Whether we're an eye, an ear, a nose, a mouth, an elbow, a pinky toe, that God actually put this body together with its diverse gifts on purpose. He did it on purpose. See what it says there? God, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 12, God has arranged each of the parts in the body. And this is the fellowship of the church. There's fellowship within God, in the Father, Son, and Spirit. There's fellowship between God and his people. God reaching out to us, saying, draw near to me. And he made the way. And then there's fellowship within the church, and that's the kind of practical fellowship I really want to talk about now, of what that looks like. Because I told you earlier that I'm not very good at it. Again, I had this situation here where I got to lead worship, but I play the piano and a little bit of guitar, but the guy who played with me, he's better than the guitar at the guitar than me. And you know what's neat? He sings in the lower part, so he can sing the low parts on the songs, and I kind of have a cartoon character sort of higher voice, so I could sing the high parts, and we were able to work together. And then when the situation came when the preacher was talking about a topic, and I said, I don't know what song to do. And he said, oh, I know a song that you may not have heard of before, but I think we should do it. And I said, you know what? You take the lead on that song. And we worked together. Diversity there, unity and diversity. We're working together with our different gifts and different strengths. When we take this idea of fellowship and we apply it to the church setting here, and how are we going to fellowship together? Let's go back to Paul's letters. He wrote a couple other letters. Let's see how he talked about fellowship. And I want you to see this one here. This is the opening of his letter to the Philippian church. And he uses the koinonia, the word for fellowship here. It's translated partnership in the CSV. But notice here, he says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. He says prayer a lot there. He talks about, I give thanks to God. That's praying. He's always praying with joy, verse 4, and for all of you in my every prayer. It's clear that he's writing to a church, and he's saying, man, I know the people in that church. I'm thinking of that one lady and that other guy and his grandson, right? I'm praying for them, and I thank God for them because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And so when he thinks about the fellowship that he has, it really drives him to pray. So prayer is an important part of fellowship. But look practically here. Let's go one more. Romans 1. This is Paul. He's writing another letter. This guy writes a lot of letters. I'm thankful for that because they're pretty good. Romans 1, he's writing to a church in Rome. Now, this church is in a, just like the other churches, but this church is in a particularly toxic place where they might get battered and bruised for believing in Jesus. And so Paul writes to encourage them. We talked about prayer. Now we're talking about encouragement. And look at what he says here. I want very much to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Now, this is just like what he wrote to the Corinthians about spiritual gifts, okay? Is he going to come there and do a miracle? What's this spiritual gift? I wonder what it is. Well, the answer may surprise you. Here's the spiritual gift that he wants to give. Verse 12, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's a super Christian. He wrote these letters. He got shipwrecked and stoned, and ultimately he died because of what he believed in. He died content in Christ. That's how he wrote about it. I would think he would say, hey, I'm going to stop by just to set you guys straight and give you a little sense of what I've got going on in the faith. But that's not what he says. He says, we need to be mutually encouraged. If the Apostle Paul needs the encouragement of the fellowship of God's people, then we definitely need it. And so, really, this is a moment right here where we confess, we repent of the lone wolf Christianity that we like to do. Meaning, we go it alone, and then we might even think, well, if I have God, then I'm good. But God didn't set us up that way. Remember the body part thing? He said, I arranged you guys together for a reason. I want to encourage your faith. That's what he says there. That's my goal in preaching right now. I want to encourage your faith, right? And I want us to be mutually encouraged too. So when we talk about fellowship, just taking this picture right here, I want you to think about fellowship as encouraging one another to take their next step in Christ. So that may look very different in a conversation. Let's say I'm talking to somebody who's a believer. I know that they've trusted Jesus. Maybe a good fellowship question, a question where I'm asking them and encouraging them to take the next step in the faith, as long as I'm doing it for the right reason, maybe I'll ask, well, what has God been teaching you? That helps encourage somebody to take their next step in the faith. That helps people to get mutually encouraged. I could ask, what are you reading in the Bible? Or here's a good fellowship question. How can I pray for you? How can I serve you? Because that is doing exactly what we said here at the beginning. It's participating together based on the relationship we share, the partnership we share in Christ. And then when you give advice to people, I admit that sometimes I may say this today. Hey, hope you have a good week. Go Guardians. And that's okay to say that. But sometimes God has put you as part of this Christian body in a place where it's your time to say to somebody, be faithful in prayer. Or be filled with hope, or it's time for you to grow in peace. So those are really meaningful things to say to help someone take their next step. And you can think about that, because no matter what part you are in the body, whether you're on the stage or you're scrubbing the toilets in the back, this is an opportunity for all of us. It's not just an opportunity. It's really a calling from God for us to fellowship in this kind of way where we are encouraging one another to be mutually encouraged in our faith, to encourage one another to take their next step in faith. I want to go to one more point here at the end here. How do we fellowship? We encourage one another's faith. We encourage one another to take their next step in Christ. Are we doing that? Well, let me ask it this way. What does our fellowship say to those outside, right on the other side of this glass? Like when they come in here and they see our fellowship, what does it tell them? If you read that Romans 1 part, Paul says, wow, the whole world is hearing about your faith. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've interacted with some Christians before where I thought, man, that's fake. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody walked in, this is a Sunday, and somewhere in America right now, somebody's walking into a church and saying, wow, the fellowship that's here, it's not for real. And when we have a fellowship that's not real, I think it could make people say they have a God that's not real and they have a gospel that's not powerful. But if our fellowship is real, meaning that somebody walks in and they really get the sense that we care about each other, that we're asking good questions, that we actually are praying for each other, serving each other. If that's real, then it says to the people outside that our God is real and that his gospel is so powerful that it could make a person who's maybe have a totally different background or totally different preferences or even totally different ideas, and that they could partner with somebody else in Christ. Somebody could look in and say, how in the world are those two people partnered together? And we could say, it's really that God put us together. And we believe that the gospel is so powerful that not only could it give us access to God, but it could actually break down the barriers, the exact kind of barriers that the Corinthian church was experiencing, that discrimination, right? Just that resentment, or even that selfishness that says it's all about me. Now the gospel's breaking that down so that we could say, let's, because we're all in Christ together, we have a relationship and a partnership, let's encourage one another's faith, encourage one another to take the next step in Christ. I know the ladies recently studied the aroma of Christ. And really, if we are having that kind of fellowship that's only made possible by God, then absolutely that's going to say something to those outside. And so as we start to wrap things up here, I want to say it to you in this way. I wrote this in your bulletin. And in a moment, I'll encourage you with this as our benediction. That'll be at the end. In Christ, there is fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people. And so here's the appeal. Body of Christ, encourage one another's faith and encourage one another to take their next step in Christ. That's the call. And I'm going to pray for us now that we would do this, because I need that prayer. You need that prayer. So let's pray. God, forgive us when we try to lone wolf our faith. We need fellowship with you, but you told us that we need fellowship with one another. And there's really no exceptions to that. So thank you for the people you put in this room, that you put together, and the different gifts they have, the different roles they have. Thank you that you're growing different people, that there's some people are on their way to serving in one way, and other people are using their gifts to serve in another way. May we sharpen one another. May we encourage one another. And may our fellowship show that you are real and that your gospel is powerful. In Jesus' name, amen.